Interlude, The Roach's Analyst. Sam sat in the waiting room, trying not to let the various smells distract him. It was a common myth that roaches didn't use their sense of smell, or even didn't really have one, but in his case it was quite incorrect. He didn't have a proper nose as the humans did, but the olfactory sensors on his antennae more than made up for it. And it seemed that his senses had been supersized along with the rest of him, because he could smell things that the humans around him didn't seem to notice at all. He didn't give much thought to the actual process that had created him. He didn't know whether he had once been human and changed into a roach somehow, or if he had begun life as a traditionally sized member of Periplaneta Americana before his transformation into a giant-sized example of the species, or if it had been done in some other, as yet incomprehensible fashion. It wasn't that he didn't care, obviously he wanted to know, who wouldn't? But he cared far more about why he had been made this way than how it had been accomplished. He was not a product of nature, or an accident. Someone had been playing God, and they had to have had a reason for doing so. No one in the lab had known. Most of the people he'd interacted with before he'd left had been technicians, simply doing their jobs without any knowledge of the larger reasons for their work. There'd been one person who must have known, a woman with red hair and cold eyes, but he'd never been able to speak to her, and her name didn't appear in any of the papers or electronic files he'd taken with him when he left the lab behind. Still, she was out there somewhere, and one day he'd find her, and he would have his answers. In the meantime, he would have to content himself with finding out someone else's answers. Perhaps this appointment with Dr. Henrietta Adler would provide some. He hoped so. The woman charged $600 an hour for her services.
Mr. Baratta, you can go in now.
He loathed the surname John had dreamed up for him, but Sam had to admit there was a certain amusement in using it all the same. Hiding in plain sight, as it were. Or perhaps what he was really doing by calling himself that was rubbing the humans' noses in their failure to see what was right in front of them. It never ceased to amaze him that a hat and gloves were sufficient to blind people to what he was. Perhaps Dr. Adler would have some thoughts on the subject.
Medication does have its place, Mr. Baratta, but of course it's something to be evaluated on a case-by-case basis. Every individual is an individual, and every individual must be treated on an individual basis.
It wasn't only a hat and gloves that could blind people to what was right in front of them, apparently. Dr. Henrietta Adler did it to her patients with a framed diploma on the wall, an expensive suit, and the relentless use of circular logic. That and the glasses. The rimless frames of the doctor's glasses were by Cartier, and cost $1,500. Sam had seen them in the Sunday Style section of the Times a few weeks ago. To him, they made the good doctor look like a woman who had more money than good sense, but they clearly had a different effect on most of her patients, or else they wouldn't keep coming back at her outrageous prices. Yes, she dispensed psychoactive drugs as though they were candy, but there were far cheaper ways to get them, which did not require one to sit there and listen to the woman blather on for an hour once a week. She talked more than any other psychiatrist he'd ever met, or ever seen on TV, but perhaps that was also part of her appeal.
What if one medication isn't enough?
Dr. Adler tapped her pen against the cover of her leather notebook. The pen was gold, and Sam recognized it as a cross 21st century limited edition, which he'd read about in the Wall Street Journal. According to the article, it cost $3,900.
Again, that would be something to be addressed on an individual basis, as each individual will respond in a unique manner, and thus will require a unique treatment plan.
But you might prescribe multiple medications if the symptoms warranted it.
I would consider it if the situation warranted such an approach being considered.
Sam was about ready to start taking some psychoactive drugs himself right now, to speed up this hour, or better still, to put the memory of it out of his mind altogether. But he was here on a mission.
And in my situation, I am having trouble coping with all the stress.
In the end, she prescribed Haldol, which Dan Parker had been taking, as well as Luvox and Celexa, which were both antidepressants, and cousins to those found in Dan's bloodstream.
I will also write you an order for Tranxine,
a sedative, and again, a drug that featured in Dan's toxicology report.
But I should warn you, it's very strong, and you should exercise caution.
Sam did not scoff, or laugh, or otherwise react to her warning, although he very much wanted to. Considering that, based solely on the 5 minutes she'd allowed him to speak, and without anything remotely approaching a comprehensive medical history to work with, she had prescribed 4 very powerful medications, all of which had unpredictable interactions with each other, caution was not a word the doctor was well acquainted with.
I will, Dr. Adler. I'm sure this will help tremendously. Thank you so very much.